So all these things are probably where it is. The evidence is really clear that yes, it does improve one's quality of sleep. I've had patients who were addicted to sleeping tablets for about 20 years, who we were successfully able to change over to a hot milk process. In my private practice, my biggest difficulty is getting patients to believe that this is a viable thing, and they're often wondering why they're paying my gap. I get about two-thirds of my patients coming back to me and telling me that they're seeing a big improvement. So the literature, what I've experienced before, as well as what those Baike said at inpatient unit taught me, that one of the best things you can do for your sleep would be hot milk, potentially with cinnamon, immediately before you go to sleep.
Yeah, and that's an easy option, isn't it? So yeah, why not? Yeah, all right. So I'll try that tonight. Okie dokie. So signs of people that what's a sign that tells you that you're not getting enough sleep?
We don't know how much sleep each person is supposed to have. Most studies say about 6 to 8 hours. We know that the older you get, you generally need less sleep. And the younger you are, conversely, you need a lot more sleep. But the signs that you're having difficulty sleep actually probably to do with what sleep is actually for. We don't know much about sleep apart from back in the 1960s, with the MK Ultra experiments, they tried seeing the effects of sleep deprivation and discovered that 100% of people who, if you forced them not to have sleep for 4 days, they developed psychotic symptoms. That is, they started hearing voices and started getting aggressive and losing touch with reality. So, whatever sleep is doing, it's really important. It is there to try to keep you awake, keep you focused, keep you being able to concentrate. And if you are not having those, that's where there's probably a difficulty with your sleep. If you're finding yourself to be irritable, if you're finding yourself yawning repeatedly throughout the daytime, you're probably yawning right now while listening to me, that I tend to have that effect on people, but also because the idea of sleep tends to trigger different things inside people's automatic responses. And a feeling that you're basically somewhat fatigued and not having the energy that you should have. If you try to experiment with an afternoon nap or a slightly earlier start, that might change things and help you to get you an idea about whether or not you're having enough sleep. But it's not just about the quantity of sleep, it's also to do with the quality of sleep. So we know that sleep goes into different stages. Stage one is when you're quite light and quite rousable. It's at stage two that something happens called rapid eye movement, which is where your eyelids are noted outside to be slightly fluttering. That's usually the time when you're dreaming. Dreaming is a very complex process which is involving your brain sifting through memories and filing away things into long-term storage, transferring other stuff, handling emotional perspectives. But that's not the really important part. It's after stage two, that is after the dream state, towards stage three and four, which is where you tend to be a lot more rested. We aren't sure, but we think that why sleep is important is that it might be taking away the metabolic byproducts, that is the waste products that the brain generates from the process of thinking during the daytime. So we think that something changes at night where the brain goes into a slowed down state and takes it as an opportunity to refresh itself, clear out all the waste, transfer it down towards the kidneys and everything else in your system, and basically to be able to be ready and refreshed for the next day. So it's a really complicated, unusual thing. For decades, the consensus of sleep was it was necessary to avoid feeling sleepy. But in the last 5 years, a lot of progress has been made inside it, and we probably are not having enough sleep, depending on how much you're doing throughout the daytime. And also, we know that because we're now all walking around with supercomputers in our pockets, mobile phone use and exposure to blue lights late at night is terrible for getting us to sleep because it's pushing our brain away from the expectation of a slowed metabolic state, entering those sort of deep sleep state opportunities. So we want not just enough sleep, we wanted the sleep to be of good quality, which is, and if you have a good quality sleep, you could get by with a lot less sleep as long as it's going to pass the stage 3, stage 4 levels, which you can't check for yourself. The only way you can really see is about the effects of how you're doing the day after.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So, options, we talked about milk to help you get off. So what's some other options to help you sleep?
Well, everything that you do during the daytime is going to affect your quality of sleep. The most important thing is your capacity for exercise. So you need to have, most studies suggest that you need at least about half an hour of exercise every single day. There has to be enough physical activity that leads the brain to wanting to be going down into a slowdown mode. And you shouldn't be doing the exercise after about 4 or 5 in the evening, because what happens if exercise is done properly, what happens is that it picks up your metabolic rate and keeps you activated and alert for at least about 2 to 4 hours afterwards, which doesn't help much when you're trying to get to sleep. So activity earlier on during the daytime. Now, your actual sleep, the room that you'll be sleeping in needs to be slightly cooler than the rest of the time. That's a cue that the body uses to try to go into that deeper state. No distractions, has to be quiet, absolutely no blue lights. Red lights, surprisingly, seem to work, seem to be okay. Red lights doesn't seem to... It's a blue spectrum and definitely the white spectrum that excites the brain, makes it think it's daytime, and reverses the effect of the melatonin processes. And those things interfere with sleep. So no blue lights, no white lights, a quiet, cool environment. And also the cue is environment-based, which is that you go to your bed pretty much just to sleep. So people staying up all night reading a book or watching TV inside your bed, not a good option, because the brain then gets confused and doesn't associate being in bed with needing to sleep. So using going to bed and not watching TV for long periods of time, and avoiding stimulation late towards the evening. And the last thing is that together with all the other interventions, we want to try to avoid anything which is stimulating, so particularly caffeine. So no coffee, tea, Coca-Cola, anything which is going to be keeping you awake at least after 5 o'clock. So basically, in short, doing everything to stimulate your body up until 5 p.m., including exercise. And then after 5 p.m., slowing things down, and at the point of actual sleep, the room itself needs to be quiet, low stimulation, and no distractions. This is going to not only encourage the likelihood that you'll get to sleep, but also that you'd be able to have good quality sleep. One last thing: if you find yourself lying in bed for ages trying to get to sleep and you're not, then don't get up, go to another part of the house, do something else, just to occupy yourself for about half an hour or so before you go back and try again. Because if you stay in bed all night trying to get to sleep, your brain associates, oh, this is the place where we stay in bed all night trying to do something. I'm not sure what it is. Basically helping your brain do what it's supposed to be doing and working more towards the variations and cycles that it's supposed to be doing.
Now I get angry.
Yeah, that doesn't help too much with sleep.
No. But all right. Alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah.
So alcohol's weird. It's a depressant and it's a stimulant. It makes us feel good. It gives us a bit of a buzz, and it keeps us feeling slowed down, which is why a lot of people think that alcohol is really good to help you to sleep. It doesn't. Because of that frontal lobe stimulation effect, it actually interferes with the quality of sleep. If it does, it can sometimes get you to sleep, but you'll end up in that stage 1 to 2 sleep with lots of nasty, unnecessary nightmares if you do get to anywhere else. So, like the others, I would be putting alcohol in together with the ideas of what should be happening after 5 o'clock. It will probably get you to sleep. And by the way, alcohol does what a lot of other sleeping tablets do, which is to try to force you into stage 1 to 2 sleep. But we're not interested in stage 1 to 2. It's the 3 and 4, which is the really important stuff. And unfortunately, alcohol will be one of the offenders to interfere with that.
Yep. All right. We better wrap it up for today. Anything else to add to this subject before we wrap it up?
Well, just to say that, as said at the beginning, sleep impairments turn up with pretty much every mental health issue. So you don't necessarily need to have a mental health issue if you can't sleep. But if you are still having difficulty trying these things after about 3 or 4 days, please make sure you see your general practitioner and have a think about whether or not there is something else that could be affecting your mental state, whether there's something which is stressing you out, something which is happening in your life which is interfering with things. Or have people noticed that you're not really being the same way that you normally used to? Because if these early signs are picked up, you might be able to avert a much worse outcome later on. And most importantly, it's something that we could potentially fix.
Yep. All right. The list of stuff I reckon we might do. How about depression next month?
Yeah, that sounds good.
That sounds good. So if anybody out there has got any particular questions, you might want a follow-up question about sleep. You can send it to studio@2dryfm.com. Then we'll flick it to Dr. Neil when he bring it up. But like I said, depression as well. And with this program is basically going to be on the second Friday of each month. Thanks for having a chat, Doctor.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Dr. Neil from Far West Health. And as I said, he'll join us again in another month's time for talking about mental health issues or well-being issues.